Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. I'm your host, Brent Henderson, and remember, we are the resistance. Wow. It is so good to be back with you guys. I always laugh and say, boy, what a week it's been today. It's been a crazy month. You guys who've been following the podcast, you know I underwent emergency quadruple bypass surgery, open heart surgery on September 5th. And today is, what is today? September 29th? So we are just, I am just 3 weeks and like 2 or 3 days past all that mess. Man, never saw it coming. Isn't that like life? You know, you think you know exactly what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, where you're going to do it, how you're going to do it. You're working towards something and something just, you know, left turn, Clyde. But God has a way of always, you know, seeing us through. And I think we need to be careful and not think, well, hey, I got through that. You know, life's going to be just a bowl of cherries now. You're always going to have something. But what you also have is you have the one who created everything there is, who is going to be walking through this life with you, holding your arms up when you can't do it on your own. And what an amazing feeling that really is. Glad you're here today. Glad I'm here with you today. And before we dive into this, do me a favor. You know, give Unleashed, you know, a like, subscribe, you know, share this with somebody who needs it, because I know there's plenty of guys who need this. You know, every single week I hear from guys who've been touched through this podcast. And so it means a lot to hear your stories, to know how God is moving in your life, and even how, you know, I can better serve you, how we can better serve you. Kevin's not with me this week. He had a prior commitment. You know, he's been doing some co-hosting with me. Kevin, miss you, buddy, but I know you had something else happening, and look forward to having you back. But anyhow, keep reaching out. You know, it fuels me, fuels us, and it really does keep this community of men strong and alive. Wow, how do I even start? You know, it's weird not having Kevin here. We kind of just get to joking around with each other. I miss that. But let me just kind of start with a personal story. You know, we're getting really close to, you know, the opener. If you're like in the state of Indiana, you know, or Pennsylvania or some of these other states, to the opening day of bow season for whitetails, it's really hard for me right now because, you know, my recovery is probably going to take 3 to 4 months, 6 months to have a full recovery, which to me, full recovery means I'm going to be better than I was before. That's full to me. And I'm going to get there, you know, God and God willing, and with the help of my friends, my wife, who have just been amazing through all this. But, you know, the last few weeks have honestly, 100% without apologizing, since my open heart surgery, it's been the hardest thing I've ever faced in my life. Nothing has even come close to this. I don't want that to scare some of you guys away from going and checking with your doctor, because I'm telling you this, I'm just over 3 weeks out, and I'm recovering way faster than I thought that I would. Praise God. And, you know, there's days I didn't feel like I could take another step. But it was the encouragement of my wife, Stacy. It was the emails, the texts, the visits, you know, the meals people would bring, restaurant gift cards, even things like, you know, DoorDash, which we never use. But wow, did it come in handy during this. Even financial help. And I thank many of you out there who reached out and said, you know, how can I help? How can we help? How can our church help? We believe in what you're doing and reaching men, and we want to bless you during this time. Kind of hard, you know, for a person who's used to trying to give to everybody to humble yourself and let others help you through hard times. But what a blessing that has been. It's been good for me. You know, I get to lay down my ego. I get to surrender and just let others do what God's called them to do. And they've carried us through. I want to say thank you to every single one of you who have shown up in big ways and small ways. Your prayers, I have felt them. Your presence, I have felt it. Your generosity, places like Lester's Feet, the GoFundMe, different things, World Renewal, have all been such a blessing to us in this time. And you guys have all been the hands and the feet of Jesus to us. And I sincerely thank you from the bottom of a new heart. So, here's where I am today. This morning, you know, Stacy left for work. The sun was coming up. I had already had my breakfast, and I got dressed in a flannel, you know, shirt and a t-shirt because fall temps are here. I love it. I laced up my tennis shoes, you know, just did a little bit of mild stretching, what I'm able to do right now. And I went for a walk behind the house. And ever since about a week after my surgery, I've been walking around the block. One time behind my house, it's about a half mile. And last week, I pushed it to 2.5 or 2 half-mile walks a day. And starting today, it'll be 3, which means I'll be up to 1.5 miles a day. I've been lifting light weights, so don't get on my case about that. You guys know I love to lift. I've had to kind of lay all that down. And the doctor says I can't lift any more than 10 pounds. And I can't do anything that's going to put pressure on that breastbone, you know, where they cut me open. And those are doctor's orders, but I'm doing something. I want to be engaged in the battle to recover. I don't want to just lay down. I know God has too much left in store in this life, and I want to be ready. You can't rush it, because God's doing more than just healing my body. He's calling me up to some areas that I didn't even realize I hadn't surrendered. And if you guys have ever been through something really difficult, and it causes you to really face everything, especially the thought about life and death, you look at everything, and you begin to realize there are still things that you haven't laid down. And, you know, the key to recovery, it's not being passive. It really is a fight. And for me, the fight isn't just about getting my strength back. It's about living out my purpose, which is reaching, encouraging, and equipping men to follow God. That's why I believe God in this life has put me where I am. And so it's not just me that's been reaching out to others, but you guys, like I said, have been encouraging us. I've had so many guys reach out. I mean, it's been crazy. I apologize if some of you I haven't gotten back in a timely manner, because sometimes messages just get buried because there's so many. You guys have been checking in. You've been encouraging me, telling me how the podcast has impacted you. Some of you have asked how they can pray for me. They want to know how you can bless Stacy me through this tough time. Again, thank you. And the one thing I want to say is this, and I want to encourage you with this, because this is what's been happening in my life. Changed men change men. That's what encouragement does. So as I was walking early this morning, there was a point in my walk where it takes me within about 200 yards of a section of woods. And it parallels the White River back behind my house. And this section of woods is only about 1/10 of a mile wide, which makes it, like, in my head, I'm thinking, man, this is a perfect funnel for deer, right? You know, knowing that it's more likely that I won't be able to hunt this fall because of physical limits from my heart doctor, it made it really difficult, because I'm just, my head is in the game. I'm thinking about, you know, whitetails, and I love studying them and learning how to not be seen, heard, and smelled, like I've talked about so many times and what I teach at game dinners. And it was all causing me to kind of struggle with my thoughts. You know, that's one of the biggest things in recovery. It's not, you know, getting your diet back. I lost 20 pounds in less than two weeks, I lost 20 pounds. The struggle isn't putting the weight back on. That'll happen. The struggle is not going to be putting muscle back on. That will happen in time. It's your thought process. When you see the weight coming off and you've worked hard to put that muscle on, when you can't get out of the chair much during the day to go and do the things that you love to do. You know, I would find myself taking calls from guys and talking to them for an hour who needed encouragement, because I was wanting to get plugged back in. I wanted to make a difference in someone's life. But when I was looking at that section of woods, like I said, I knew it was a perfect funnel for whitetails to travel. And even though it's an area I know I'm not going to be able to hunt, you can't hunt back there, it made me feel my feelings about getting back out into the woods, you know, watching everything wake up as the sun rises, you know, seeing the squirrels as they're coming down the tree and hearing them chatter, and the chipmunks, and, you know, the turkeys that are beginning to talk on the roost and do a fly down, and that unmistakable sound that a whitetail makes as it quietly approaches your stand, you know, almost undetectable unless your ears are tuned in and you're aware of what you're listening for. You know, for me, that is a part of my mental game in surviving these months of recovery. It's that I want to be out there thinking that I have to deal with. And for any of you who love the outdoors, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I have waited a whole year since, you know, last deer season, and, you know, wanting to put up new stands in some areas and hunt those new stands because I've discovered new paths and patterns. But now I got to wait another year, and that is tough for me, you know, but it just is the way it is. Is it possible I might be able to talk to a friend or two and see if they have a hunting blind because I'm not allowed to climb things, you know, putting that pressure on that breastbone? I don't know yet. I really don't know. I know that we are getting low on venison and we're going to need it, but I also am laying that in God's hands. He has always met our needs. But the other thought that went through my head this morning, it was back when I was in my late teens. There was a man named Art who had been in my life almost like a second father since I was about the age of 4 years old. And Art loved deer hunting. As a matter of fact, I shot my first deer when I was hunting with him at about the age of 14. And those moments, those memories will always hold a special place, you know, in my heart. I think for any young hunter, you know, it's not just that harvesting of your first deer, but who were you with, those memories that you shared together. And it would only be a few years after that that I'd be standing beside Art's bed in the ICU. You know, he was in there for some serious health complications, very similar to mine. And he told the nurses that I was family. I mean, I wasn't his real family, but I was to him and he was to me. And so they come in and talk to him for a few minutes. And rather than making those moments about him, which I can tell you when you've had open heart surgery, it can become all about you, the pain you're in, what you need, you know, and you try not to make it that way. But Art, he made it about me. He didn't make it about himself, because the first day of gun season was getting ready to happen. And he said, you know, are you really getting excited about this? And I said, yeah, I'm really excited, but I'm kind of concerned because that opening day looks like it's going to be a mix of sleet and rain. So what does Art do? He asks the nurse for a piece of paper and a pencil, and he draws an image for me of how to make a scope cover out of an inner tube. You know, even though he was in intensive care, he carried my excitement and was equipping me even when he could barely lift his arms. Wow. I'll never forget that. And some of you can remember that I was training hard for a Colorado elk hunt that I had, which would have been the September 13th to the 21st. Well, obviously that didn't happen as my surgery was on the 5th. But man, months of work went into preparing for that. You know, then just 2 weeks before I was supposed to leave, you know, I had the heart cath done. They found out how severe my blockage was. They said, we only find this kind of blockage in autopsies. That was a little bit unsettling. But I had to have that emergency open heart surgery. And so there's where we are today. And Roger, the guy who I was going to be elk hunting with, who, if you've listened to some of my earlier podcasts, you've heard him on there, you've heard some of our crazy stories. We were going to be hunting together. But Roger had been going through some physical challenges of his own. And if you know our history, you know some of our elk hunts that we had together were literally downright dangerous. You know, borderline hypothermia, severe dehydration for me that turned into something called rhabdomyolysis, even hospitalization. I went totally blind. And most of those things were all happening to me. I think Roger's a little smarter than I was. But through it all, he and I have had each other's backs. And Roger was still planning to head out alone, even though I wasn't going to be able to hunt, because he had planned for this hunt as well. He's going to be up at 10,000 feet. You know, and this is after I, of course, had to cancel. But what happens to Roger? It's like the day before he's getting ready to he's got everything ready. He's going to load up a truck and head out. A horse had gotten out of the fence, and he's got to get this thing put back in. And somehow the horse stepped on his foot and ankle, messed up his, I think it was his foot and his Achilles. And I think he had to wear a boot and was going to be on crutches. You got to be kidding me, right? So that ends his plans. You know, the conversations we had were like, we needed this. Whether we took an elk or not, it was just about friendship, brotherhood, getting out into creation. And he's been so busy with everything in his life, you know, trying to make ends meet. But, you know, here's the point again. Stuff is going to happen. And who you have walking beside you is going to determine whether you stay down or will you get back up. Are you going to let circumstances keep you down? Or are you going to allow God and others to lift you up? Because you get to choose. And here it is. Listen, knowing your why makes all the difference in the world. That kind of leads me into where I wanted to go today in Scripture. And I want to go to in Exodus 17. Moses is standing on the mountaintop, you know, while Israel is engaged in the battle below. And as long as Moses' arms were raised, Israel was winning the battle. But his arms grew tired and he couldn't hold them up. And that's when Aaron and Hur come alongside him and they lift his arms and literally carry him through the battle, because without them, Israel would have lost. Let's look at Barnabas, Acts chapter 4. You've got a man named Joseph who was so known for lifting people up that the apostles gave him a new name, Barnabas, which literally means son of encouragement. And one of the first times we see him step up is in Acts 9. Saul, who later becomes Paul, the man who had been persecuting Christians, has just been radically saved, and he's trying to join the disciples. But no one trusts him. You know, they thought he was a fraud. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and everyone is keeping, you know, Saul at arm's length. And I think, honestly, anyone who knew his story probably would have too. But Barnabas believes in him. And so he took now Paul by the hand, and he walks him into the room and he says, "This man's testimony is real. I've seen what God has done in him." Without Barnabas, Paul might never have been accepted by the apostles. So think about that. Paul, what does he do? He goes on to write over half of the New Testament, one of my favorite writers in the entire Bible. Then you got later in Acts 15, you know, Barnabas encourages another man, John Mark. Now, John Mark, if you remember the story, he had failed on an earlier missionary journey. He gets scared. He leaves Paul and Barnabas in the middle of the work, and he goes home. You know, to Paul, you know, you have to remember how intense Paul was. It's inexcusable. So when it comes time to go out again, Paul just flat out refuses to take John Mark along. But Barnabas, he wouldn't give up on him. He saw something in John Mark worth salvaging. So Barnabas takes him under his wing, encourages him, gives him a second chance. That decision would cause Paul and Barnabas to kind of separate, part ways for a season. But years later, Paul himself would write in 2 Timothy 4:11, "Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." That's the fruit of encouragement. It doesn't always happen overnight. But Paul went from rejecting John Mark to depending upon him because Barnabas carried him through his failure. We all need that. If you've ever failed, and I know I have, you know how much it means when someone believes in you anyway. Paul kind of comes back and he sums this up in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. He says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." You see, encouragement isn't optional. It's commanded. Listen to me. It's kingdom work. So here's kind of where we miss it today. You know, when we give a quick, you know, "I'm praying for you" on Facebook or Instagram, it's not really carrying someone through, or like a heart emoji or a caring emoji. That's not really holding someone else's arms up. I think sometimes we do it out of, "Boy, I better kind of show up and give a like so they know that I was thinking about them." It doesn't really mean that much. Encouragement is the voice that they hear. It's the face that they see. It's the hand on the shoulder. It's praying in real time. When I was laying on that bed and they're getting ready to take me in for my surgery, you know, there were people that came and surrounded me and prayed for me. That meant everything. You know, it's putting a meal on the table for someone when they're struggling to even be able to walk to the kitchen. You know, it's sharing stories that reminds them that they're not forgotten and that you have future adventures you're going to be going on, that God's got this. It's not about fixing people's problems. It's about helping them make it just one more day. And here's the bigger picture. A part of our purpose in this life is to lift up others, to be the one who carries them through when they can't carry themselves. To be Aaron holding up Moses' arms, or Barnabas standing beside a man that the world has written off. How many other men do we know that people have written them off and they're just needing you to speak some words to life into them to help them get back on their feet and to get their compass straight again? So here's my question for you today. Who's carrying you through right now? And even more important, who are you carrying? Who are you pouring into like Art poured into me? Don't wait until someone's funeral to talk about what they mean to you. Show up now. Be their Barnabas. Be their Aaron. Carry them through this life, because none of us were meant to walk through this life alone. Encouragement, now get this, encouragement is spiritual warfare. It fights the enemy's lies with God's truth. It reminds people of who they really are when they can't see it for themselves. Pick up the phone. Listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. Drive across town. I had a friend come visit me. He was an hour and 40 minutes away, and he had actually driven about 7 hours just to be in that location. He says, "Are you going to be home tomorrow?" I'm like, "Yeah, nowhere else to go." He goes, "Well, I'm coming to see you." He came, and we talked about deer hunting stories for 2 hours. I needed that, and I want to thank Tab, my buddy, who came over and spent that time with me and prayed face-to-face with me. I told you Stephen Curtis Chapman was on tour. You know, he and I have been friends since we toured together back in the early and mid-'80s, and he takes time out of his tour schedule to come, rings the doorbell, comes in the house, and sits there for 2 hours with us. He encouraged me. He encouraged us. And remember, that encouragement that you give may be the very reason that they make it through another day. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the sins of deceitfulness. I'm 3 weeks now, 3 weeks and 3 days into recovery, and I can tell you this. I am rising stronger. I am wiser. I am more courageous. Why? Because I've been carried. And maybe God is asking you to carry someone else. And here's what I want you to remember. That when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he's no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous. Dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. Love you guys. See you next time.